one more time with all your heart. Give God praise.
He's everything. He's everything. Father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise once more. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. How many's happy to be a Christian today?
Yes, amen.
You seem pretty happy. How many's happy to be a Christian today?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Man, I'm sure glad I didn't trust in Andrew to get saved, trust in what Brother Andrew had to do to get to heaven. I'm glad that Jesus went ahead and took care of that for me.
Amen.
My, just even today, you think, God, if you'd have judged me for what I deserve, I'm out. I'm gone. I ain't got a chance.
Right.
5 minutes ago, I lost my chance, didn't
right.
I? But the blood of Christ has never lost its power.
Never.
Be saved you once, you're saved for all eternity.
Amen.
Be sealed you with the Holy Ghost. There ain't no breaking a seal when God seals it. It's
Amen.
Shut. It's going to go where it needs to go.
Hallelujah.
Let's open up our Bibles this morning if you have them. If you don't, we'll listen close with big ears. Revelations chapter 2. Remember, Brother, this Wednesday, Brother Colin, be here preaching for us again, and then two Wednesdays after that, Brother Nathan Erickson will be here as well. Keep them in prayer. The Sunday crew, sorry you got me for a long time.
That's all right.
No breaks on Sundays. Look on the calendar going, hey, that says Brother Andrew all the way down. That's just the way it goes sometimes. Hope you ain't tired of listening to me just yet.
No.
Thank you, Brother Ken. I appreciate that. Revelations chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art falling, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Now remove that candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Acts chapter 19. That's me the last scripture, and we'll have you seated this morning. The last scripture right now, anyhow. Acts chapter 19. We'll start at verse 1 there. Derek, can you say amen for me?
Amen.
Acts 19, verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, I wish this was our first question every time we talk to somebody about God. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. I want to start a series back to Ephesus. Today, just Paul and the Ephesian church. So let's bow our heads together. If you have a need this morning, with every heart bowed before God, would you raise that to the Lord? And I believe the Word is the provider of that need, knowing that the Word is still Jesus Christ today. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for assembling us here. Lord, we've come in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you wouldn't see us anymore, but we would just fade away into the blood of Christ and be justified by faith, that you would see us pure and holy as you did before the foundation of the world. Lord, and you predestinated this moment now, and I pray, whatever your purpose is, Lord, that we would humble ourselves and let our minds go by the wayside, and we would listen to the mind of Christ and say, Lord, do with me as you please. If I've been wrong, if I've deceived myself, if I've walked in the wrong footsteps, put me back on the footsteps to Calvary. Put me back in your footsteps, Lord. And though it might be hard, though I might walk alone, Father, give me the faith to walk with you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy to us. We thank you for loving us unconditionally, Lord. And I pray that once more, would you pour your Spirit out upon your people? Lord, would you take control of my voice, that it wouldn't be my thoughts, but, Lord, that you might speak to your people and help them, knowing that the words of a man don't mean much. But, God, if you'll just say a little bit, I believe it'll help the children of God. Forgive us, Lord, for where we failed you. Just once more, Lord, we just want to feel your love and presence. That's why we live, Lord, is to worship you. I pray for each one that's here. If they be sick, may they leave well today. To have them receive the Holy Ghost, I pray that this service would change that. Commit the service into your hands now. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Might wonder what this is, but just in case you're wondering, I found out you can get these spiral bound if you take them to Office Max, and you can tell mine it's kind of hard to duplicate this thing again. I didn't want to start over, Brother Roy, and it's really nice. Now I can hold it like that, nice and flat, and I just want to thank the Lord that he gave me this. This has been so much easier for me, and I do have the Church Age book with me today. I figured I'm just going to have to carry it around now because I spent money on getting this spiral bound, so I better use the thing, right?
You know? Right.
Don't do much good just to get it done and put it back on the shelf, you know. I think it's the same with a lot of stuff. I hate to rebuke people for this, but it seems too many times we just got a lot of books that sit on a shelf, don't ever get used.
That's right.
We got, I got my Bible laying there. I got this one. I got these sermons. Have you ever read any of them? And you're going over there and you feel the dust on it. Well, I don't know if that's what God gave us this for. I don't think God gave us the Word of God to just sit in a nice shelf and everybody can come in and say, oh, Holy Bible, you must be a holy Christian. Not necessarily. See, the Word is just print form. Hope you're listening right now. We're just going to let the Lord speak this morning.
Yes.
The Word in print form is good. Reading the Word is good. If you'll just glean off of it even naturally, you can get a lot of results after following the Word of God. You watch people do it financially. They'll say, my, I just followed the scriptural pattern and everything blossomed. Well, of course, because what God has blessed is blessed. What God has cursed is cursed. But that's not the Christian purpose of the Word. The Word is to be a mirror to you to see that Jesus Christ lives. That this God, that God is the Word and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, that God is not dead. He died once for all. And 3 days later, he raised again. How many believes that today? And a lot of people say that. And I even, as Brother Alexander talked about the Pope saying, we worship the same God of history. Well, that might be true. You might worship a historical God, but not the Church of the Living God. What does a historical God do if he can part the Red Sea, but he can't heal me now? What good does it do if I used to live in adultery and I ain't got a God now that can deliver me? And I just got to hear about him doing it back then. That doesn't do anybody any good. I don't serve a God of history. I serve a God of the present.
Yeah.
A God that rose again where you can't find his body on earth. It's not here.
Amen.
It's in hope. It's in heaven in glory. Well, we're planning on going.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've talked about Ephesian Church, and I'm sure you've heard this. We're not going to be able to do this jacket, that's for sure.
Whew.
Got used to the vest, I guess. Everybody's heard that, you know, we got to go back. We got to go back to the original. That's why the message came, to take us back to the original. But how many times have we heard, what is that? What are we trying to go back to? Because if you don't know what it is, you can say that all day, and say we've got the original Word. But if you don't know what the original Word is, you don't even know what you're saying.
Right.
And that's why I want to start this. We want to go back to Ephesus. We want to go back to the original. Because when God does a work, it's perfect. He didn't do anything wrong. You wonder, why is the church still here then? Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. The Holy Ghost poured out shortly thereafter. That was the church on fire for God. Had signs and wonders, miracles everywhere, prophesied visions and things. What happened? Why are we still here 2,000 years later? Did the plan of God fail? Did God only give enough of his revelation and then, oh, he left some of it back and that's why we have to stay here because he didn't finish the work? That's not the reason. What Paul had, what Peter had, what John had was the fullness of God dwelling amongst men. It's the same God that lives today.
Yes.
That was God's plan, was Pentecost.
Yes.
What God foreordained before the foundation of the world is that he could take a man and put him back in his sonship that he had when he was at, like Adam was in the garden. When Adam wanted something done, it just happened that way. Didn't have to worry about it. Didn't have to break through. Didn't have to do. He just was living in a realm of perfect faith. I don't like that tree there. Tree, go over there.
Amen.
As God was God of the whole universe, his son, Adam, was God of the earth. And whatever he desired, it happened.
Amen.
Saying, woo, we didn't hear that in the seminary. No, you didn't. Because this isn't to just anybody. This is to the elect of God. You say, are you kicking people out? No, sir. Anybody could be a part of God's children, part of God's family if you desire. But the proof of it is, if you don't desire it, it proves you ain't predestinated. How many people physically saw Jesus Christ closer than I am right now? How many touched him? Remember when the woman touched the hem of his garment? It was because he was being thronged. She couldn't get close enough. People, how many of those people knew who that man was? And I'll tell you, it's the same today, and you might not think so. You might think this is Brother Andrew talking. You might think that this is just another cult church, a bunch of crazies here. But if you'll just get into the Spirit of God, you'll see that this is not Brother Andrew.
Amen.
This is God bringing the Word to his people to show them what the message came to do in the first place.
Amen.
It didn't come for us to just shelter off from the world. Well, the things of the world, that's for sure. But not from the people of the world. My goodness, how are they ever going to get saved? I've even heard that, you know, the scripture says they'll run to and fro looking for the word of God. Yeah, you! That's who they're supposed to be looking for. You should be packing the word the world is thirsting after. And any man that's got any inkling to God left in him knows there's a God somewhere and I just can't find him. And God have mercy on the elect of God if we're a little too afraid to say that God sent a prophet in this day. If we're a little too afraid to say that the God that you read in this Bible still lives today. And if I lay hands on you, you'll get well today. If we're still afraid to say, well, we speak in tongues at our church, but you know, it just happens once in a while. We're not too fanatical. You know, we keep it in order and think, you're ashamed. Too many times I've seen it. And if you'll be honest, you probably did it too, because I know I've been there. Ashamed of what you really believe. But it ain't time to be ashamed, because we know what Jesus already said about that. If you're ashamed of me, which is the word now, you're ashamed of what you stand for. You're ashamed of who he is. He said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his angels. No one of us, I hope, want to be in that category. I ain't interested in that. I want to be back on the throne with my Maker. I want to be to where all the evils, all the stupid things I've done has been washed away. And I can go to a realm that on the inside I'm already at. I can already feel. I can already glean from heaven joy and peace and love. And if you could just multiply that by about 10 billion, you know what heaven's really like. And it's time to let the things of the world just fall away. It doesn't matter. We're so concerned with our jobs and our houses and our cars and our little enjoyment and playing our games and doing this thing to distract us. Look, you're wasting time if your soul's not right with God. What will it do you? What good does it do you now if you'll really evaluate it? How long do those pleasures even last? You get a new suit, you get a new car, you get a new house. How long does the joy of that last? Just until it breaks. You want? You drive down the road, you see somebody painting that barn, and you go, my, that looks real good. And then you drive back a year later and you haven't thought about it, and it looks just as terrible as it did before. Why? Because on this earth, there is no continuing city, but there is one. There is one. As Brother Branham said one time, you see, he was talking about the uncertainty of this and uncertainty of that and uncertainty of this. And he said, is there anything certain? He says, yes, there's one thing certain. God is the same today. And what he did 2,000 years ago is just as true right now. When there was people, as we talked about these Ephesians here, if you go before, a few verses before that, you'll find the conversion of Apollos. How many's heard of Apollos in the Bible? He's an evangelist, missionary, one of those things. He got around and even talks about when he was preaching mightily. He only knew the baptism of John. Go to show, at least to me it does, that these ones in Acts 19 might have been sitting under him. Because they had the same problem. They only knew the baptism of John. And that was good, and that's okay if you really have ignorance.
Right.
Hope you listen to me now, because there's still hope for you.
Right.
It's when you know the truth, and then you willingly walk away. That's when it's time to find an altar and die to the things of the world. Because, look, you've only got so many chances. One of those times, it's your last. And I don't know that. No man knows that, but you and God do. And you might not think so, but down on the inside, there's someone who knows that the clock's ticking. There's one thing you never get back, and that's time.
Right.
If we realize the value, the value of time, we wouldn't waste it. God help us today.
Sure. Amen.
You read about the conversion of Paul, of Apollos, and Apollos had known the baptism of John, and that was it, but he preached mightily that the Christ had come, and that this man was wonderful, but he never received Pentecost. Go to show he never went far enough. And I don't care how much of the message you know. I don't care how much of the Bible you know. I don't care how long you've sat in church and paid your tithes and been a good person. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you haven't come far enough yet.
Amen.
Saying, how do I know, brother? Jesus didn't stutter when he said these signs follow them that believe.
Amen.
Lay their hands on the sick, they'll recover, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll take up deadly things that won't harm them. Look, he didn't stutter when he said that. He said, in my name they'll cast out devils. He gave us things to look for. And look, you're not trying to work it up. It's just, God, if I really receive the Holy Ghost, this should be happening when I yield to you.
Amen.
And if you're a real Christian, you really receive the Holy Ghost, you realize that's exactly what happens every time if you let reasoning go out the window where it belongs. And look at these Ephesians. They didn't reason with Paul.
Right.
They had sat under Apollos. They had listened to it. It was great. It was wonderful. But when Apollos got done, it says Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside and showed him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And oh, God forbid you do that in this day.
Right.
Woo, you're coming against my priest, my pastor, my denomination, you got a degree? Are you eloquent in the scriptures? Apollos might have said in this day, but not that elect of God back then.
Right.
When he heard the word on the inside responded.
Right.
And he said, that's nothing but the truth. And you know what it did? It didn't make you mad. It excited him.
Yes.
And any man or woman of God that can't stand correction, I don't think you've had an experience with God.
That's right.
I don't think so. Because if you've had an experience with God, when the word comes, it might even hurt. It might tear you to pieces. It might take your whole life, what you thought was right, and just break it to pieces. But if there's something on the inside that loves God, you say, God, then break me down. I don't want to believe a lie. I want to believe the truth. I don't care if I've sold my life to it. I will give it away to follow you.
Amen.
Paul did the same thing. And don't act like there's no men that haven't done before you, haven't given up more. Paul gave away everything he
had. Yes, he did.
He could have been the head of the Sanhedrin, head of the whole Jewish nation probably, with how powerful he was in the scripture, how intelligent he was, how blameless he was.
Right.
There was hardly a man walking the earth at that time like Paul that could get up and say, according to law, I was blameless.
Right.
Most of us think we're pretty good. No. Without the blood of Christ, we're just filthy, dirty rags. But when Paul heard the word, and look, he didn't hear the word out of a book. He'd read that all his life.
Right.
That didn't change his life. He saw the word made manifest.
Yeah.
In a pillar of fire that dropped right in front of him. And that's what shook Paul up a little bit. He said, whoa. I remember that.
Right.
I read that in the scripture where it led the children of Israel. And that wasn't just Moses leading the children of Israel. That was God.
Amen.
He said, and he asked a very good question.
Right.
Lord, who are you?
That's right. Amen.
And before, all Moses got was, I am the I am.
Come on.
Later he got, I'm Jehovah Nisi. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm this and that. And they were all good things about God, but we can never pinpoint, what's his name?
Right.
Who is this God? And then you could even read the name of God in the Old Testament. You can't write it. It's just consonants. There's no vowels to it. You can't pronounce that. How do you what's it, J-H-V-H, I think? How do you pronounce that? Goes to show it was still hidden.
Right.
But if you'll get the glasses on, you'll see that J-V-H-U turn into J-E-S-U-S.
Uh-huh.
And the God of the Old Testament lives today.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, well, as the Bible says, he was the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Not created flesh now either. Don't you believe that? Jesus didn't start existing. He always was.
Right.
He was the Word. But the form as being a human being was made.
Right.
Hallelujah. Can you see the picture? You and I, down on the inside, look, there was a predestinated seat. That wasn't made. That always was. Because it was a part of God. Now, us being physical, we were made into this. Our bodies we live in, that was created. Absolutely. The chemicals and things like that make the structure. And we know that's part of the earth because if you die, it becomes earth again.
Yes.
All of it does. If you wait long enough, it'll become earth again because that's what it's made out of. And that's what the Bible says. Thus you are, and thus you'll return.
Right.
But on the inside, of the inside of a man is a soul.
Yes.
And when God breathed into man, what was it? He was taking a part of his own life. Look, the word, he was breathing it. He is the Word, and he breathed part of his life into Adam.
Amen.
That's my son. Because he was making creation. He made an elephant and thought that was pretty good. He made a giraffe, thought that was pretty good, all the way to a chimpanzee and thought, that's pretty good, but there's something else. there's something else that looks like me. That's what I want to see. Isn't that right, fathers? When you see your child, what do you, if you'll be honest now, you want to see the good in you times 10. Amen. Isn't that right? You want the bad to go away. Well, this time there wasn't no bad to be in his son. It was all good. It was all wonderful. It was all perfect. Remember, Adam was first made a spirit man. Why? To show, God was showing we were going to go back. We came down this way and we fell down, but there's the road back. That means we're going to know what we are at the end. That was at the beginning.
Amen.
It might be a little much there, but we'll get to it here in a second. That was a big tangent, wasn't it? Let's come back to here. Acts 19, and as we talked about Apollos and how he received the word, and though he had left and went to Corinth, that's the very first thing it says in Acts 19, and I think that was to make a point that these believers weren't trusting in Apollos. They were trusting in the word that they believed.
Amen.
It didn't matter who said it. If it's the word, I believe it.
Sure.
The same with those, I think it's the saints in Berea or something like that, said they were more honorable because they checked the scriptures daily to see if those things were so.
Amen.
And these believers here, they knew what was truth and they stuck with it. And they knew there was supposed to be a Messiah and things. And according to our standards, they missed the word. It's over for them.
Come on.
Not necessarily. Sincere heart, if you're sincere with God. And that's the thing. You can bluff me. You can make me think you're sincere with God. You can bluff your neighbors. You can bluff the church. You can bluff your work. You can make all of them think that you're sincere with God. There's one man who knows if you're really sincere or not, and that's Jesus Christ. People will tell me that, oh, I sought God. He never answered me. You didn't seek God then. You weren't sincere. I'm sorry. Because if you get sincere with God, I've got two choices. If you're really sincere and God doesn't answer, I guess God's a liar then.
That's right.
How many can say that ain't the truth?
Amen.
When you've got the business with God, who got the business with you?
Amen.
And if you really understand the scriptures, he was already on business with you. He was already looking for you. He was already preparing the way. He was pushing you this way. Let you lose this job. Let you lose this and get you. Because he was putting you in a corner to where it would just be you and him.
Uh-huh.
And that's the problem with this age. There's just too much. People got too much. They got too much stuff. They got too much distraction. They don't even get enough time to think, hey, I wonder if my soul's saved or not.
Come on.
And I can tell you you're saved. That doesn't mean anything. You can be around people that are saved and still go to hell. You've got to hear for yourself that Christ has said, I have saved you. I have redeemed you. How, Brother Andrew? By receiving his spirit. When you receive the Holy Ghost, ain't nobody got to tell you something happened. You know it. You're not the same anymore. You've been changed from death unto life. You could tell me all day, Brother Andrew, you need to do this, you need to do that. Look, the Holy Spirit already done come in. And as long as you show me, if you show me by the word, I'll accept that. And I ain't got no problems with that. I said that earlier. If a man can't receive correction, I don't believe his experience. I hold myself to that same standard too. Don't you be afraid now. If I say something you think ain't the word, I want to know about it.
Right.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Or we've been taught too long. Don't question the pastor. Oh my, you know. You need to reverence him. Absolutely reverence me in the office that God has ordained me to. And if you really reverence me, you'll tell me if I'm wrong.
Right.
I want to know if you really love me or not.
Amen.
Now, let's go the other way, too. That seems to be the harder road, don't it? You're wrong. If you think I really love you, now I ain't going to go beat you over the head about it, but I'm still going to be sincere and say, hey, you need to get this out of your life.
Sure.
You know why God hates sin? We said it before. I'm going to say it again. Because sin will destroy you, and he loves you.
Amen.
The devil's the one that'll tell you God's picking on you. That's why he's rebuking me. That's why he's telling me I did this wrong, and I believe this wrong. It's because God's just mad at me. And he just, no, God loves you.
Amen.
When Jesus said, I am the way, he wasn't saying that, you know, I'm just going to make sure there aren't any other ways. He was just saying, this is the only way. I'm from eternity. I've searched up, down, left, right, throughout the whole universe, and I found one way back, and it's me.
Amen.
Nobody else can do this. So we get here to Acts 19, and Paul comes to these saints at Ephesus. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And I want to be real patient with this one. If you turn real quick with me to Ephesians 4. We're not going to go deep into Ephesians 1. I'm sorry. I just want to quote what Paul says here. Ephesians 1. Verse 13. speaking of Christ now, Paul says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. People say, well, I believe this. I believe the word. That's good. I believe the Bible to be infallible. That's good. I believe Brother Branham to be a prophet and all these things that we think everybody needs to say they subscribe to. And really, none of that matters if you haven't been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Because what do you have to do? You have to believe unto salvation. I hope you understand what that means. You believe until you receive it. Because if you say you believe, now listen to me, God, look, that's all we can do. There's nothing else a man can do but have faith in God and believe Him.
Right.
But until God witnesses back, then you could just be believing intellectually. You could just be believing because somebody talked you into it or somebody talked you out of it. And all that doesn't matter. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith is a revelation. Faith is an uncovering. It means there was something over this, and now it's broken apart. And the only way that can happen is for you to receive the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You have to believe first. Look, the Ephesians, we just read there. They believed that the Messiah was there. They knew He was around somewhere. They didn't know Him by name because they hadn't been baptized in His name. And that goes to show why it's not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That says the same. Go look at the word in there. Matthew 28:19. You might be a little fast, but Matthew 28:19, it says, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Look up the word in. And then go to Acts 2:38. Look up that word in. They're not the same word.
Right.
Matthew 28:19 means unto the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But in Acts 2:38, means in that name.
Amen.
God, see, Jesus was giving us posts to look for. Oh, He's the name of the Father. Okay, well, look for that. Jesus said, I come in the name of my Father. Name of the Son, well, you'll call His name Jesus. Name of the Holy Ghost, Christ, the Anointed One.
Amen.
And you watch where all three of those point to. He's the Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's why, as we just read there, they were baptized a different way. And it wasn't just because they're baptized in John's baptism. Had they been baptized in any other name, Paul would have rebaptized them.
Sure would.
He said, I didn't baptize you in my name even. Not in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized in the name because that's the only way you'll get anything from God. There's only one name whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when does this happen? After you believe. It's not good enough to just believe it or just to acknowledge that it's truth. My, if you read the message long enough, you'll be able to acknowledge according to the Scripture, that's exactly the truth. There's no other revelation that keeps it all straight.
Right.
If you can't see that the bride and Christ are one and that the Word was always God and Word became flesh and dwelt among us and we were a part of that Word and that Christ has brought His church back that we're predestined for the foundation of the world, none of it will make sense.
Right.
Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why didn't they just pay enough money or things? Why didn't that work? Because it wasn't money. It wasn't fruit in the garden. It was blood.
Amen.
They tainted blood. It took blood to buy it back. And our blood wasn't no good. But there's one who was. And He knew that He was the only one. And when He saw it, He looked across in the face. And the Bible says His face was like a flint, which means it wasn't going anywhere. He was set. We're going to Calvary.
Amen.
And even when He began to waver, as we know that the Spirit of God left Him, Jesus went to the cross, a man like you and I. He went limited. He felt pain. He felt distress. He felt fear. And the Bible says that though He were a son, yet He feared.
Amen.
And He stood there and He looked at the cross. All these things come upon Him, but there's one thing Jesus never did. He never turned His back on the Word.
Amen.
I believe even when He was struggling, I believe He was looking right to Calvary, saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I believe the Scriptures began to move into His heart to where even remember that said the angels came and strengthened Him.
Uh-huh.
And I've already said what I think that was. He said for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross.
Amen.
I believe when the angels came and showed Him, you know what they showed Him? You over there.
Yeah.
You in 2014. He saw you having a sickness, having a cancer, and said, oh my, wouldn't it be nice for them to be healed? And the angels, you could see, oh, they're well. Why? Because of what I'm about to do.
Right.
Look at their souls. Oh my, wouldn't it be nice for them to be in glory with me?
Amen.
Oh wait, this is all I've got to do. You see how small the cross became when He saw how glorious heaven
sure,
would be.
Amen.
And it's the same with you and I. Oh my, you get focused on that cross, it's going to be tough. Look, you got one to bear whether you want to or not. You can go ahead and be a sinner. You're going to bear a cross.
Uh-huh.
but you're going to bear it alone. I don't plan on bearing it alone.
Right.
He said he'd be with me, even inside of me, till the end of the world.
Right.
And that's what he intended. God never intended man to ship for himself. He wanted to be the governor the whole time.
Amen.
Because he knew best. And you might look at the cross in your life and say, my, these bills are getting heavy. My, I want to be a man of God, and I see me doing this and doing that, and I look at my children, why didn't I lead them that way? Why, look, they're going to do what I just did there. They saw that, and you know how we do it. And that cross will become too much. And you're exactly right. As a man, you can't do a thing. If you fight the devil toe-to-toe as a man, you're going to fail. You think you talk good? You think you reason good? Ooh, you ain't met the father of all reasoning just
right.
yet.
Amen.
How many's had the devil take a scripture that told you were saved, and by the time it was done, you were lost? How many times the devil took the same scripture that told you you were healed, and turned around, before you knew it, you were still sick? Why? Reasoning is not faith. Reasoning is not faith. What God says is.
Amen.
Not it will be, not it was, it just is. It can't change. Look, we have it in printed form, but this word always was.
Yes, amen.
If you can find yourself in there,
amen.
You always are.
Right.
And you always will be.
Yeah.
And there's no end to the church of the living God. So these Ephesians, when they heard this, when they heard, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They didn't fight and stew and say, now wait a minute, Paul. Paulus, he's a great man. He's very intellectual.
Sure.
He's very knowledgeable in the scripture. We listened to him. That was good word. They didn't fight Paul. What did they say? We'll answer your questions. Have you received it? We haven't even heard about it. You know what that showed? They had a chance.
Right.
It's when you hear about it and you turn it down. That's the scary place to be. But I hope you came to church this morning not to turn down God. Did you? Did you come here? Why? You know, there's mosques around. You can go there if you don't. You know, if you can just stay home and watch TV, you know, there's plenty of things the devil's got to give you. But I believe you come to the house of God to hear from God.
Amen.
That is right.
And I like when he tells me, that a boy, you know, and lift you up. But I also like when he tells me, hey, look what that did. Quit doing that. Because I just want to hear from God. That's why I come.
Amen.
And these Ephesians were the same way. That's why God so exalted the Ephesian church.
Right.
Because of their reaction to the word. What did they do? They were honest, first off. They didn't beat around the bush. They didn't say, well, we kind of received the Holy Ghost. There ain't no kind of receiving the Holy Ghost. There ain't no progressive Holy Ghost. You show me that in scriptures.
Nope.
People say, well, I got justified on this day, and then about 6 years later, then I was finally sanctified, and then, you know, I had to work real hard to get enough patience and temperance and things, then I finally deserved the Holy Ghost. And that was a bunch of foolishness. You know what it is? It's a Nicolaitan spirit that came in and took the word that was given to us, that was supposed to give us life, and turned it around and made it a law that no man could bear. I've had that happen. How many's read the Statute of Perfect Man before?
Sure.
Anybody here? When Brother Man preached that? If you're not careful, ain't nobody got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We're supposed to have the faith of Jesus and the temperance of Jesus and the patience of Jesus. And I can't remember them all off the top of my head. I could the second I get done preaching. I know them all. But I get up here, I just forget stuff for some reason. And you go, God, I ain't got a chance. How am I ever going to get that? And if you'll backtrack a little bit, you realize when the Holy Ghost was given, it was not the reward of the Holy Ghost. Did you hear me? It wasn't the reward of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it was the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And if we'll get this idea that the Holy Ghost is like a substance, like, you know, like it's like oil, and we only have so much, and then it gets sparing, and we run out, and things like that. No. The Holy Spirit's a person.
Amen.
You either have him or you don't.
Right.
He's either here right now or he isn't.
Right.
And who is it? It's the person of God in the spirit form, which goes to show that he can enter into each one of us.
Sure.
God is a man. He was just a human. We couldn't get into each other. We're flesh. Look, Brother John, I can't get in you, brother. But can you give someone your spirit? Oh, yes, you can.
Yes.
And if we'll get into the Holy Spirit, then we can start rubbing off the Holy Spirit on each other. And we'll all be one accord in one place, which is what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's what attracted God. It wasn't just unity to anything. My, just go join the Pope. Yeah, yeah, unity coming all over. But that's not the unity. It was unity with the Word.
Amen.
They said, Jesus said to wait. And we're waiting until it happens.
Amen.
It's been 9 days. Peter, come on. Thomas, probably the one that always downed him, wasn't he? I just throw this out there, though. Tom is still saved. And I just realized Tom is in.
Glory to God.
I wasn't playing, brother. But as they sat there in one accord, they're all saying, I'm sure, and they began to testify, yes, we saw Jesus do this, and he raised this dead there, and we watched Lazarus come out of there, and we watched that storm disappear. And if he could do all that, he said we'd be endued with power from on high, and we are waiting here until we get it. Not knowing the whole time that it was going to be 10 days.
Right.
There was no getting away from it. It had been 40 days since Jesus came back, and day 50 was the year of Jubilee. So they had to wait 10.
Right.
Goes to show, why didn't God show them that test their faith?
Sure.
And God will do that with you and I. He ain't going to just show you, oh yeah, here it is, all planned out. No. But you stay walking with him. You stay in love. You stay in the Spirit. And watch, you'll fulfill Scripture here. So fulfill Scripture. What about, oh my. That is what the prophet said about it. That is what the Bible says about that.
Yes.
It'll happen every time. So these Ephesians, what I so appreciate about them is they just so receiving of the Word of God that even though they had believed, they knew they hadn't received yet.
Right.
And a lot of Christians need to get honest with themselves. Just because you believe doesn't mean you've received it yet.
Right.
But if you received it, you can't lose it.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, there's the balance to it. Just because you say you believe, look, and I want to hit this hard because I did it. And I hope, and maybe you have too, where you knew, I believe this. I know this is right. But I'm doing this, and I want this, and I love this more. And I just can't seem to let go. And as long as you hold on to the world with your hands, how can you give over to salvation? You've got something preoccupying you. But if you can just let go one time, God will hand you His free gift of His Spirit. And that word comes into your life. And what did it do to these believers? They were born again right there. Not 10 years later, not 15 years later. They didn't get sealed away, way out in the on. Right then, the day they heard the word and received it, it manifested.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And what did it produce? Sweeping amounts. Oh my, this church was just, whew. Ephesus was a big city now. It'd be like Detroit now. It was huge. Remember they had the big temple to Diana, if you read it later in the book, or earlier, I can't remember now, in the book of Acts. They just, my, there's just thronging about Diana and just huge masses.
Right.
And here's these certain believers. And it says at the end, the men were about 12. Now, I know the scripture doesn't, if it judges, you know, you read where Jesus fed the 5,000. Well, the Bible says 5,000 men. That means there was, besides the women and children. Were there women and children here? We don't know. Could have been. They didn't necessarily have to be. But either way, it's just 12 men. And even with their families, you're going to push 50 tops. And this was the great Ephesian church. What made them great? Was it their high amount of numbers? No. Was it that they were better than Corinth or any other place? No. Look, God even took a pause, made them leave Ephesus to go to Corinth. Remember, that's what started them getting all, we're of Apollos now because we have all, we're, you know, the intellectual believers were of Apollos, and those that were kind of rough were of Peter, and everybody else is just of Christ or Paul or whatever, and they made all these sanctions. And then I've read one thing where it said that Apollos, they said he must have left because he was with Titus later on or something. So he probably just got fed up with the division. He took off.
Amen.
But not the Ephesians. You don't see Paul talking about in the book of Ephesians the gifts of the Spirit and the way to handle yourself in church. Say, well, they had it. They knew it. Because they weren't taught by a man. They knew how to hear from God.
Right. Amen.
And that's really an Ephesians church right there. A church that you don't have to, you know, pump them up and you know, oh, here, let me email you these quotes. You learn. No, a church that knows how to individually hear from God.
Amen.
To know when it's God's Spirit. To know when it's the devil. To know that if some spirit, any spirit, says that this word is not right, or the way it is, you know, we need to rephrase it a little bit, or you know, we need to change what God has done. It doesn't apply to 2014. You know, even the prophet's word, oh, that's 50 years old. That's different now.
What?
If you'll recognize that any spirit that says that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh,
amen,
is the Antichrist.
Right.
And is present tense, and it doesn't change.
Right.
So if any spirit puts God in history, or in the future, but not in the present. It's the devil.
Amen.
And not just any devil, it's the Antichrist.
Amen.
You know what anti means? It means to take out and substitute.
Sure.
It's opposed and substitutes for its place. A lot of people think the Antichrist is going to be some political figure. They think it's going to be something just against religion, communists or something like that. No. It has to take the place of Christ.
Amen.
Makes the plainest view that it has to be the Pope. It doesn't get... But every system underneath that will work the same way. Until it does, it'll infiltrate message groups.
Sure.
But it can't infiltrate the message.
Amen.
Because they've never been able to get into this message. And the more I read it, the more I study, I hope you hear me. What Paul gave these churches, the Ephesians, the Galatians, it's the revelation we've been given in this day.
Amen.
It's the exact same one. And when you see that, it changes everything. These little parts I tried to put together in my mind, and I hope that somebody's hearing me today, and you try to shove this picture together. Am I that contradict this? And how does this work? And what is this? Let me give you one quote that baffled me for the longest time. Brother Branham says this. He said, justification led away to sanctification. Sanctification led the way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost led the way to the Holy Ghost itself. I thought the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And for years, I just scratched my head about it until one day I began to realize, what is the Holy Ghost itself? It's the life of God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is something that the Holy Ghost does. Look, if I baptize you with water, that doesn't mean it's just water. I'm doing something with the water. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Ken, the Holy Ghost itself was that life within you the whole time. It was the seed of God because the Holy Ghost is God. And if a part of Him came to you, that's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But it needed a baptism to quicken it alive. It needed something to come to bring out what was always there. Right. You're looking for the statue of a perfect man? It's in your heart.
Amen.
He's right there. You say, I can't do this. I can't do this. That's where you're failing. You can't. He did.
Amen.
He is.
Hallelujah.
He lives in you.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And the Ephesians were able to handle this. Read the first chapter. You're predestined for the foundation of the world to do this, and God has adopted you as His children.
Amen.
He redeemed you before you got here.
Amen.
You have the life of God in you.
Amen.
And what you received back there, when I baptized y'all in the name of Jesus Christ, that will see you all the way through. Because it's already happened in God's mind.
Right.
They were able to handle that. My, the Corinthians were such big babies, you couldn't even talk about it. They were too busy being saved because I speak in tongues.
Uh-huh.
Being saved because I'm the best tithe player around here. That's why I'm saved. And he said, you're a bunch of fools.
Right.
And what's the update that? You're a bunch of idiots. Would you have taken that from Paul? Shows you that even the Corinthians were real believers. They just needed to hear it from someone.
Uh-huh.
Even remember, you read 2 Corinthians, they didn't cry and boo-hoo about it either. It says they got vehement about making it right. They got zealous of, okay, you're right, Paul. We let that happen. That can't happen no more.
Right.
We were doing that. That was foolish. We need to stop doing that. He said, thou fool.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, you know, that's not really a word we use today. Maybe you do use fool. I do, just to be joking around because it's kind of archaic. It's in the past. But idiot makes it hits home, don't it? That's what he was telling them.
Uh-huh.
You're an idiot.
Right.
He told the Corinthians, you're stupid. Oh my, we live in America 2014, don't we? We gotta pay everybody. It's okay, you won't get nowhere with somebody doing that. If you can't go to someone and say, hey, you're a sinner because of your life, not because I'm saying it, look what the Word had to say about that.
Right.
And I told you what the Word did, now you're mad at me. You are a sinner. You need to repent. If you're afraid to say that, you're not going to help them. What good does it do if I'm a doctor and I know you've got cancer? Say, well, you know, here's some ibuprofen. Just take it easy for a while, knowing that the whole time you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a good doctor, am I?
Right.
Peter didn't look at them on the day of Pentecost and say, "Now I know you rejected the Holy Ghost. It'll be all right. Just kind of follow along in the church. Don't cause no trouble now. We don't want to lose any tithe payers." Must be hitting home with tithe or something. He said, "No. The same God that you just killed on the cross, you're guilty.
Right.
And if you don't do something, you're lost. Not only do you have any blood, you have the blood of the Son of God on your hands right now."
Sure.
But even watch those and say,
What do we do then?
That's a good question to ask, isn't it? When you finally realize that you're lost, and I hope you hit that day, because you got to find out you're lost before you ever get saved.
Right.
If you're just half lost, you'll just get half saved, and you're not saved at all.
Right.
But if one day you actually recognize, I'm lost, I'm black as black, I don't have a chance in the world. Ephesians were right there, believing the baptism of John, walking in all the word they know, they still didn't have it.
Right.
But when they heard it, they accepted it.
Amen.
Never received it. Now let me read something out of the church age book. I'll just read it on my iPad here. It says, it's all the Ephesian church age. It says, the key given to me of the Lord, whereby I was able to determine the messenger for each age, is the most scriptural one. In fact, it might be called the keystone of the Bible. It is the revelation that God never changes.
Amen.
And that His ways are as unchangeable as He is. You know how powerful that statement is? What God did at Pentecost is what He wants today.
Right.
It's the way He does things today.
Amen.
Look, He takes the people that are consecrated away from the world. He pours the Holy Ghost out on them to go out into the world and testify that He lives.
Amen.
You want to change it and do something else with it and just cloister together and hide from the world. And we're just going to go up in our conclaves and just, you know, just read the message and just sit in our little cubicles. You wonder why you're dying. You were given life to give life.
Amen.
Freely you were saved. Freely give it out.
Amen.
It's too many times people, they live in depression, they live sad, they live defeated and condemned and things. And what's the problem? They clogged up the river of life because they don't want to live for others.
That's right.
That's why God give you eternal life, to give it to others.
Amen.
And that's what God did here. In the first age, let me keep reading there. It says, here it is, an unchangeable God with unchangeable ways. What He did at the first, He will have to keep on doing until it's done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. The kind of man that God chose for the first age and how God manifests in that man's ministry would be the example for all other ages.
Amen.
What God did in the first church is what He wants to do in all other ages. Reading down here, it says, thus, what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. You're not excelling. You're not getting bonus points. It's the standard. This is the pattern. There is no other pattern. No matter what the scholars say, God has not changed that pattern. What God did at Pentecost, He has to keep doing until the church age closes. Though many scholars might, or those scholars may tell you the apostolic age is over, don't you believe that? And you know the only scripture you need to prove that the apostolic age is still on? Acts 2:38 and 39. Repent, baptize in Jesus Christ, and remission you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise,
God, come on,
is unto you. And we can be real specific, the Jews, and to your children, still Jews. I just forgot. See, as I told you, every time I'm preaching, I can't remember a scripture for nothing. I'm going to read that. I'm going to take a little time here. Is that all right? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. There you go. There's every Gentile in the world. All that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if God is still calling, the promise is still coming.
Amen.
God doesn't waste His time calling somebody and doesn't have nothing to give them. He's packing the goods.
Amen.
And if you're going to witness for it, make sure you're packing it first, all right? Make sure you got something to give. When Peter went there and saw a lame man, he didn't have to go get prayed up. He didn't have to go find nothing. He said, such as I have, I will give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise!
Amen.
And be so convinced that what you have really is the genuine article of God that you can grab a man who doesn't have legs at work and pick him up.
Amen.
And expect him to walk. And not just walk and kind of, what does the Bible say? He was leaping.
Yes.
And that's when you know somebody finally gets delivered. They don't just, thank you, Jesus. You don't think. No, when somebody gets delivered, they can't help it. Because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I speak back to my days.
Yeah.
I said, God, get this spirit off me. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And one day I realized, you'll do it. You'll do it for me. I accept it. And you watch the devil leave.
Amen.
We just want to fight him and just throw darts at him. And, no, let the real artillery man just drop a nuke right on it.
Amen.
When you say in the name of Jesus Christ, you better be in the name of Jesus Christ, or it won't do you no good.
Amen.
But if you are, as man has received Christ, you've been baptized into him.
Amen.
So when you speak, it's him speaking. When he speaks, it's you speaking.
Amen.
It's one and the same. The word that he what, the word that he is, you are.
Amen.
What he is, you are. Oh, don't say that in all denominations. You'll be kicked out real quick. Well, we got to reverence God and respect him. Absolutely, I do. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my King. He's my Redeemer. I didn't redeem myself. He did it to me. But the life that I now live, it ain't me. It's Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
Let me keep reading there. It says, until he stops calling the Pentecostal message and power. Can I say that again? Not just the Pentecostal message, not just the message of the hour, but the power.
Sure.
Will, and this is in all bolds, not cease. So if anybody comes to you, and they've got some quote nice and polished up to let you know, oh, no gifts of spirit anymore. That was for a day gone by. Oh, no speaking in tongues, that's Pentecostal. We're Pentecostal plus. Plus what? Your TV?
Come on.
Plus what? Football instead of church? Plus what? Brother Branham was talking about denominations. He wasn't talking about the original Pentecost.
Amen.
You better have more than those denominations have because they have all that. Mm-hmm. And they have speaking in tongues too. I'm not basing it all on that, but that's one of the signs. You got to have the whole package.
Right.
You got to have both. You got to have the life of God. Absolutely. My, if you're still mean and dirty and nasty and cussing and filthy and things like that, no, you ain't born again yet. You need to find Christ.
Amen.
But if you're living just a nice, good, wholesome life, but, you know, God don't ever answer prayer, don't ever see any miracles, never any signs, you ain't got it yet either. You're just a good person.
Right.
And that's not bad. I'd rather be a good person than trying to shoot and kill people. But at the same time, we ain't interested in that because you'll still die and go to hell.
That's right.
There's only one way back, and that's through him. And he is the Word, and the Word and the Spirit of one are one. And when you receive the Spirit, you receive the Word.
Amen.
That, let me keep reading here. It says, until he stops calling the Pentecostal message and power will not cease. What the church had at Pentecost is her unalienable rights.
Amen.
I wish I could get everybody to believe that. It's not that you're trying to earn these things. They're our rights.
Amen.
How many of you get up and do what you want to? How many put the clothes you wanted on? It's your right to do so, and it's the same to be healed. It's the same to be saved. It's the same to receive joy. It's the same to cast out devils. It's our unalienable, which means you can't separate it
right
from us. It's our right.
Amen.
No man can take it from us. Our Constitution even tried to give it to us, and they can still take it away.
Uh-huh.
They are every day. If you believe that they got any hopes left in this nation, you're deceived. I'm sorry. It's already in the bag.
Amen.
When I watched a Pentecostal preacher get up and say, yep, let's go for the Pope. Let's do it. Let's get it all together. All heaven's happy about this. The whole nation's gone. God have mercy. Why? Why is it wrong? Because it's not what God did at Ephesus.
Amen.
It's not the first church, and that's the pattern. It's not what God had at Pentecost. It's something else after that. The genuine was given first, then come the impersonations.
That's right.
Moses came on the scene. He did the real works of God. Then Janus and Jambres decided to show up
right
and start mocking him. Brother Branham was the first one. You look up history.
Yeah.
I challenge you if you doubt it.
Right.
Show me one man that moved in the power of God like that before him.
Nobody.
And watch the throngs that followed after him.
Right.
The name of anyone, T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, find all of them. They all will tell you it trails back to him.
Right.
Who? A man with a church of 12. You know,
uh-huh.
Man of Ephesus. A man that didn't have an education, that wasn't elegant in the speech or in the script. Look, even Paul says that. I didn't come to you with enticing speech.
Right.
I know Apollos might have that, and that's okay, but that's not how I came. I came in the Word and the Spirit and power.
Amen.
That you wouldn't rest upon the hopes of a man, but you'd rest in the power of God.
Amen.
And that's what the message came to show us. It's not time to wait on the pastor, your brother, your sister, who you think spiritual. You need to trust in God.
Amen.
That man will fail you. That church will fail you, but that God cannot.
Amen.
Amen.
The original church was not organized by men. It was led by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't very big. It was hated and despised. It was oppressed. It was persecuted unto death. But it was true to God. It stayed with the original word pattern. Let me read down here a little bit. It says, the true church will always try to be like the original at Pentecost. The true church of today will try to approximate that early first one. And the messengers to the churches, having the same Spirit of God in them, will try to approximate the Apostle Paul. They won't be exactly like him, but the true messengers will be the ones that come the closest to Paul, who was free from all men, sold out to God, and gave forth the Word of God only, and manifested the Holy Ghost in power. None else would do. You have to work from the original, as like begets like. The true church will always be one that tries to follow in the steps of her fathers at Pentecost, and our messengers will follow the Apostle Paul, the first messenger of the first age. It is that simple.
Amen.
And that wonderful.
Glory.
Amen.
People think it's so hard to find the word for the day and what God wants for this day. If you'll just believe in whom God has sent, it will all come together and it'll be very easy. Or I shouldn't say easy as far as trials and things. It'll be very simple. Be just simple as looking at 2 + 2 = 4 and go, yeah, yeah, I got that. And realize that, oh, sickness plus faith equals healed.
Uh-huh.
I'm done.
Right. That's it.
Believe and receive the Holy Ghost. And I'm sealed today my redemption. Yeah, it's that simple. And it's that wonderful.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to try to wrap up here soon. I didn't mean a lot of this is free. I'm just going to let you know that now. We know that the church of the beginning was exactly what God had wanted. And the way God started His church is the way He wants His church. We know that Jesus already prophesied, unless a corn of wheat die, it'll abide alone. He knew that the church would die, spiritually speaking now. And that's why Catholicism came in. That's why it destroyed everything else for 1,000 years until where there was no other church is even recognized besides them. And they're heading right back to it again. These little reformations that's pulled out with Luther and Wesley and things, they'll all run right back. We already know that. The Bible says that. It said the great whore stood up and had many harlot daughters, and they all came right back and supported her. And we know it only lasts so long until the whole thing's destroyed, because no kingdom can stand besides God's.
Right.
But they had the original word, and they began to let down on it. Let down on it. Let down on it until a man thought, if I can find a man somewhere that ain't married, that's a part of a clergy, he can read the Bible because I can't do it. And if I give him $1 million on this altar here, not only can I get out of hell, but all my siblings and all my family that didn't, you know, serve in the Catholic Church, they can come out too. That's what it came down to. The word was... You show me where the Catholic Church approximates Pentecost. Show me one devil they've cast out, and they say, oh, you watch these exorcisms, that ain't devil possession, that's just getting a different devil. You say, how do you know that, brother? Jesus said that. You'll take some man out of the street, you'll make him a twofold child of hell more than he was.
Amen.
You know the worst devil you could ever get, ever, is not adultery, it's not murder. It's a religious spirit. Because then you're cut off from God. Show me one time Jesus called someone either part of the devil or his children or anything like that wasn't religious. Show me where Paul did it. Did you child of the devil? Someone trying to say, oh, these are the messengers of God. Somebody trying to be religious about it. Said, you child of the devil, get out of here.
Amen.
Pharisees is the one that Jesus looked at and said, you're of your father the devil, and his work shall do. It wasn't the sinner on the street. It wasn't the harlot. It wasn't the prostitute. It wasn't none of those things. They had a chance. It was those that stood right around the Word. Now, the Word was a person now. It wasn't just a book. He was walking around. They stood right next to Him. And they said, nope. Not even just that. You're the devil. And that's blasphemy. And people think they can do it in this day. For you to do it now is worse. Jesus said so, didn't He? He said, if you blaspheme the Son of Man, it can be forgiven you. If you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come.
Right.
That's serious business. Well, we are promised, and let's just go to these scriptures real quick. I want to make sure that this hits home. Malachi 4. I'm going to go to 3 scriptures here, and then I'll try to wrap up. Malachi chapter 4. And we'll read 5 and 6. Excuse me. Remember, we're going back to the original. We're going back to Ephesus here. Verse 5. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children. And to stop there, you look up Matthew 1:17. That's exactly what it says for John the Baptist, and the scripture stops. Just as much as when Jesus quotes, I believe it's Isaiah 60 or 61, somewhere around there, he quotes the scripture and he stops it right in the middle, because the second part wasn't for another 2,000 years. And the scripture works the exact same way. The reason Luke 1:17 stopped right there is because that was to John. The rest of this was not. How many believes that today? And the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Matthew 17:11. Actually, let's read verse 10 and then we'll go through 12 or 13. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? Why did they say that? Because they knew Malachi 4. They knew that scripture was sitting, that the prophet needs to come. Where is it? And he says this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall. And what does shall mean? Future tense. Right. Means he's not here yet. He shall come first, or first come, and do what? He has one specific job: restore all things.
Amen.
If John the Baptist came to restore all things, he sure did a terrible job at it, because he was starting a whole new thing. You had heard the law, you've seen this and that. Well, we're changing. We're going a different direction. You've heard law all these years. Now it's going to be grace. And if you don't believe this man that I'm pointing you to, you're lost. I don't care how much you attain to Moses. You must find this man.
Amen.
I don't know where he is yet, but I know he's around somewhere. Because I was sent from the Spirit of God to forerun it. But here Jesus said, there's an Elias coming who will restore all things. In verse 12, but I say unto you that Elias is come already. Even Jesus himself separated Malachi 4. Right there. He gave you one part is here, one part's already happened, one will happen later. But I say unto you that Elias is already come, and they knew him not, and have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. What was their question? Why do they say that Elias must come first? The answer was, it was John the Baptist.
Right.
They weren't asking about the new age to come. They were asking what already happened. And he answered that. But he threw that in there as well to prove he's still the Word.
Amen.
He still had to give them. They had a preconceived interpretation of Malachi 4.
Right.
And he still had to give the right one. Because he was the Word.
Amen.
He couldn't contradict his own Word. So he gave them the second part there. And he said, okay, here's what you really want. It was John the Baptist, and that's why he's dead now. Why was Elijah to come later? Why was he come to... He was come to turn the hearts of the children back to their fathers, and he was come to restore all things. And just to prove that it's to the Gentiles, I got one more scripture for you. Some of you have been here before for this, but Acts chapter 3. A lot of people point to the Jews later on in the tribulation. That would be fine if these scriptures weren't here. It's just not true. It can't be true. Acts 3, verse 20. Actually, let's read 19 and then go through there. Excuse me. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. What does restitution mean? To restore.
Sure.
Jesus just got done telling us, Elijah will come and restore all things. Now Peter's saying, look, Jesus can't come back until all things be restored. And unless we're going through the tribulation, you're going to have to stick around this thing the whole time until he comes back to earth. Elijah must come and restore all things first.
Right.
And he has.
Amen.
That's my message for you today. Back to Ephesus is possible, and it is. To the church elect. I don't know if you caught that. It is now.
Amen.
You're not getting back. You are back.
Right.
What did those... We could read it in Revelations again, but I want to wrap this up. What did they have? They hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Amen.
What was the one thing that God had against them? wasn't their doctrine. They were right on. It wasn't their ability to accept the word. They were right on. They had lost the first love. And what was the first love? People think, oh, that's when I first got converted. That's not what he's talking about. It's in that Pentecostal experience. The church, what it was at the beginning, you've left that. You left that first, that we're going to serve God no matter what happens. I don't care if we got to jump out. I don't care if they're going to shoot us. They're going to kill us. We're going to go out there and we're going to love God everywhere that we are. That's what they had lost. They become, you know what Ephesus means? Aimed at and relaxed. That's not the Ephesians we're trying to go back to. We're trying to go back before they fell.
Amen.
Before they lost their first love. How did he say to do it? Go back to the first works.
Amen.
We think the first works are, oh, when we got the Holy Ghost and things like that. That's good. But what were the first works? The book of Acts.
Amen.
Go back to that. Don't try to be this new age stuff. Don't try to just be good people. That's a bunch of filth. Go back to the book of Acts and be that.
Amen.
And I'll receive you gladly. And not only that, you'll be able to eat from the paradise of God, Amen. The tree of life. Because yes. I've already given it to you.
Hallelujah.
It's not time to get lax. It's not time to be relaxed. Or to be aimed at and relaxed. Time to be aimed at and smash. It's time to aim. If we're going to aim the targets on the devil, it's time to get something done about it.
Amen. Amen.
Not time for us, oh, we're going to pray, we're all going to fast, but nothing ever happens. That's not the church of Ephesus. When they needed, they had a need, they got a need.
Amen.
When Jesus saw a need, he took care of the need. And that God lives today Amen. In the hearts of every believer.
Amen.
Not the pastor, not the deacons, any believer.
Amen.
That's what Ephesus had. Look, their pastor, their minister was gone,
Amen.
But they still packed the same power.
Amen.
And if you read Schofield's note, he, you know why he knew they didn't have the Holy Ghost? They weren't spiritual, and their lack of power.
Amen.
He could tell right there, nope. Because the Holy Ghost packs power.
Yes, it does.
Holy Ghost is power.
Come on.
It is, what is it, dynamis, you know, for dynamite. That's where it comes from. It's the word for power. And that God lives today.
Amen.
Finish on one quote. I'm going to read it out of this book, and I'll be done right here. How many's enjoying the word this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Even coming out of Revelation of Jesus Christ, it's page 15, he says, let me show you another reason why Satan hates this book of Revelation of Jesus Christ in the church. He knows that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. He knows that a whole lot more than do 90% of the theologians. He knows that since God is immutable in his nature, and he is just as immutable in his ways. Thus, Satan knows assuredly that the original church at Pentecost, with the power of God, Mark 16 in action, is the true church that Jesus claims as his own. All else is false. It has to be. If we just believe that much right then, you wouldn't recognize, wow, a lot of people are missing it. Because the only true church there is one that has Mark 16 in action.
Right.
The only church there is has Acts 2:38 in action. All else. All. I don't care if they're messaged. I don't care if they're not messaged. All else is false. All else that'll take the word and hack it to pieces, and we'll take this, but we don't like that. You know, we think we should be allowed to do this, but, you know, the Bible says it. No, none of that. Any of that, you're not the true church anymore.
Yes.
And I've seen ministers recognize it, then turn around and do nothing about it.
Amen.
If you're preaching the word, it's the real word. It produces Mark 16.
Amen.
That's the cream of the crop. That's the proof in what you're saying. I don't care what comes out of your mouth. If it doesn't live, it's not the word.
Amen.
You say, well, it's this brother's fault. He's causing division. It's this one because they do this, they do that. It's your fault.
Yes.
Because even in the midst of confusion, Daniel still stood.
Amen.
Daniel still could get in contact with God. Daniel still had the power of God sitting right in Babylon.
Amen.
That'd be like sitting right in the Vatican.
Uh-huh.
He still had the Holy Ghost because we got to quit basing on this. It has nothing to do with that. If you're sealed in with God, we're going to get in Ephesus. You're already raised.
Amen.
You're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Right.
And if we know where Jesus is, you're in Him.
Amen.
We're looking too natural. Stop doing it. Get up. Get up. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Looking for the Ephesian church and it's already here. You say, well, why can't we see it? It's only 12 men. Wasn't enough for people to recognize it, was it? And I ain't just saying that because we got a small group here. 12 men is 12 men. You know, that might be 50 people or so. And maybe there's even hundreds at a message church, but only 12 of them. You say, oh, that's a terrible way to think about it. Look, truth is truth nonetheless. Mm-hmm. If you see masses flong into something, chances are something wrong. Uh-huh. Because the word only attracts the elect. Amen. The rest of it can't stomach it too long. And a real church with a book of Acts with Mark 16 in it, Ananias and Sapphira can't sit in church too long. You lie to the Holy Ghost, it'll be exposed. And you either have two choices. Die, and you can die spiritually, and that's way worse. I'd much rather die naturally than have a chance for my soul like Samson. Just die disgracefully, but at least my soul saved.
Right.
Than to die spiritually and know that I can never hear from God again. Your other option, though, is to repent. You understand that's what grace really is? Great. People think grace is I can just do whatever I want and God will forgive me. Grace is you got another chance to say you're sorry before judgment comes.
Amen.
And if we will recognize that the second you say sorry, the second you really mean that, Lord, I didn't mean to do that, it's gone. It's gone forever. He can't remember. But you're playing halfway and just kind of a little repenting. Look, there ain't no drying confessions either. You got to die. If you want the Holy Ghost, you got to die. You've got to hit rock bottom or you'll never get back up because you got to get low enough till you find the rock of ages down there.
Yeah.
Because too far, your foundation's too short. A little wind will come and it'll blow your whole thing over. But if you can one-time drill and get that cement to get to the rock of ages, it doesn't matter what comes. It'll stand. Let me finish this, Brother Ramsey. Now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it what? Lukewarm, formal, and powerless.
Amen.
God have mercy if we ever become that filth. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He can't stand it. He knows. I wish the Church of the Living God knew this as well as the devil does. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, that she can do the greater works. And she will be an invincible army.
Amen.
If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. And by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her.
Amen.
Let's stand together. I'm sorry that I went that extra little bit there. How many wants to be in Ephesians church?
Yes.
How many can recognize that the message has already come?
Yes.
And the restoration is already here. And if you've received the Holy Ghost, you are the Ephesians church. It's time to act like it. It's time to not be afraid. Look, they were accustomed to seeing the dead raised. Healing was a daily thing. And I hope you recognize in services here, healing's been a service thing. It's happened somewhere. Why? Because it is here. It's right now. As we bow our heads together, I want to take a sincere moment as we all reverence God now. Each one. Maybe you don't know how to relate to this. Maybe you still feel like, Lord, I believe it, but have I received it yet? We said we know. Paul already taught. That's not good enough. You can believe it intellectually. You can believe it logically. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be a revelation that this is life and all else is death. Does anyone here say, Lord, I'm sorry for doubting your word, but I'm here. Look, there ain't nobody looking around. This ain't for nobody else. This is for you and him right now. Don't lie to him. He already knows all about it anyways. You say, Lord, I want to be a real Christian. I'm sick and tired of being in the valley. I'm sick and tired of wondering if I'm saved or not, if I'm just guessing. Lord, I'm ready to receive. I believe your word, Lord, but I'm ready to receive it in its fullness. God bless you. 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 God give you requests, those of you that have done that. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Don't stop short. Believe until you receive it. Say, Lord, I still got, I want peace. I want joy. You promised this. If I receive the Holy Ghost, I have it. I ain't worried about my flesh. I'm looking down on the inner man, Lord. I see these scars down on the inside. I'm tired of hurting like this. You're supposed to be the one to heal me, and I know you will. Would you just do it this morning for me, Lord? What does God tell us today? The word in your lips is the same as Him saying it. What do you have desire of today? Do you think you're lost? Do you know you're lost? That's the first thing. And if you do, just say, Lord, I'm here. Change me, mold me, make me. I want to be born again in the Spirit of God. I don't want to have to think I'm saved or just pretend. I want to know, Lord, that it's over. Do you have a loved one? Do you have a need? Let the Holy Spirit do as He pleases. I hope you know He's here. Let Him open your eyes right now. And pray with all your heart. If you are that person that has that need, pray with all your heart. Don't let anything detour you from the promise of God. It's the enemy. If you're thinking about work or lunch or things like that right now, I'm telling you right now, that is legions of Satan's army trying to keep you from the Word this morning. You give Him the preeminence. You say, well, I keep thinking this. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You're worthy, Heavenly Father. I love you, Lord. It's not show, you mean it. You love Him. Tell Him about it. The presence of God breaks the yokes. It sets the people free. And let's pray together. You worship, you pray any way you feel led. Heavenly Father, how we appreciate You this afternoon. Lord, and we read this blueprint, Lord, that the book of Acts, Pentecost, that Lord, the Ephesian church is what You want. Lord, and we are the church of the living God. We're not here to be halfway, Lord. We want to give You our all. We want to die to everything of this world, everything of this life, and to live for You with all our hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that You would just come. Lord, not even just come here, Lord. We know You're here, but into our hearts. May the Spirit of God touch each one. If there's one still caged by the devil, still caged by sin, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that they would be set free. Satan, You're defeated. Loose the children of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Any sickness, any depression, any devil, you have to leave in Jesus Christ's name. You're not allowed to stay here no more. But Lord God, as we know, the devil's defeated. He doesn't got anything on the children of God. He's powerless, Lord, because You've given us the true revelation of the true church. We're not trying to find it, Lord. It was right there. You said Malachi 4, restore it, and it's already happened. It's right here in our laps. And we confess that we believe, Lord, You've made us an invincible army against the devil. Lord, and I pray for each member in this army that they would never lose sight of that revelation as a son and daughter of God. But Lord, if they're still in confusion, if they're still in doubt, may now the Holy Spirit come into that soul. As they surrender it over to You, Lord, may You fill them anew with life and power. That when the enemy would come, knowing that when he's cast out, he likes to bring seven more with him. But Lord, may the house have someone standing at the door. The man of faith, may it be You, Jesus Christ, living in every heart. May the life that we now live not be us according to the flesh, but may it be the Spirit of God living in us. Help each one that's here this morning, this afternoon. Lord, if they have a need, Lord, I know that You know. May You fulfill each one. Commit the word and the preaching and the service into Your hands. We just love and appreciate You, Lord, and we ask it and believe it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Love, just stay in an atmosphere of worship. We don't dismiss until the Holy Spirit's done. If you have a need, you can come forward. I'd be happy to pray with you. But if you want to just sit there and seek the Lord yourself and find Him, He's here to be found. I can't help you anyways. I'm just an agent of His. I'm just an ambassador. I'm here to send a message from someone else. I'm here to stand on what God has already brought. Hallelujah, Lord. Just worship and praise Him now. We're going to sing that song together, but You do what You feel led to.
Jesus, may
worship and praise Him now.
And give
thank you, Lord. Give Him all your heart today. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord.
And make me more like
Thee. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. He's right here. He's closer than a brother.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. Fill your joy, Lord God. Sing in doubt, sing in faith. God has already answered you. Thank you, Lord.
Sorrows will vanish. He
night turn to day.
Your night turn to day. Let go.
Just let go of everything. Give your life to Him anew today. Let Him fill you anew with joy and power.
Let go and let God have His wonderful.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will be.
Doesn't want to leave you.
Let go.
Look, you've got to surrender with all your heart. I adjure you, don't hold anything back today. Be in any hurry today. I can't make you do anything. I can just give you the opportunity to let Him do it. The Lord's still here. I don't know if He's completely satisfied. Don't leave here with the need today. Don't leave here with the doubt. I'm not being fanatical. I'm telling you that the Lord is not done. Patience only lasts so long, and it might be you, it might be someone else, I don't know. But if you can say in your heart that there's a doubt somewhere, you need to get rid of that. Say, Lord, fill my heart with faith, because I've got doubt. I don't need this doubt, I need it gone. There is a place for the believer where he knows that he's sealed in. And if you're falling short of that, you need to stay until that's gone. You got to cross over. There's no going back. You got to burn bridges going back. There ain't no going back. Christian's saved for time and eternity. Christian's got the life of God for all time and eternity. He can't lose it. He always was it. You've got to see that. Say, Lord God, take these shackles off my eyes. Take these scales off. I'm tired of looking blindly. I'm tired of seeing myself still a sinner. I'm tired of seeing these things wrong in my life. God, just do a miracle in me. We're going to stay in this atmosphere of worship. Don't look for me to do something. I'm telling you, I wish you could see it, but I can't make you. The Holy Spirit is here to do exceedingly abundantly more than anything you could ask or think. If you believe the pillar of fire to be the same, then you better believe it's 5 feet from you right now. There's no reason to leave with the need today. Just reach out. How, brother? Reach out in faith. Reach out in praise. Just stay inside. Demon on my brother. In the name of the Lord, Satan, you're adjured to leave this man, to torment him no more. Heavenly Father, we pray that you grant my brother the most sincere request we could have, just to grow closer to you. I pray, Lord, when he goes home, when he's at the job, when he's with his family, oh God, may he just see the Spirit of God right there next to him. May he see Jesus sitting in the seat next to him. May he know that you're always with him, Father. May he just love you again with all of our. May he even return to his first love with everything that's in my brother. We believe together and claim it to be so now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Believe, brother. Lord, you promised to us, Lord, that it's awesome. Thank you. Lord, we pray heaven and earth when we're there. Lord, I pray that each one of you will look forward to hear your words and change from death into life. Lord, and stay in the shelter of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that your little children will be known to know that God lives in daddy, that God lives in the family, that God lives in the ball park. Lord, they can see that, Lord, he's alive, that you're still alive, Lord. Grant it to them. We believe it, Lord, and we agree together now. You said two of us would agree on anything to give it, and we agree. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Jason, Lord, I believe he came because he's done. Lord, he's done with sin, sickness, and shame, and all these things of the devil. And as the Holy Spirit's here, Lord, I pray you fill his heart. And he changes from death unto life, Lord, that he wouldn't even have a desire anymore for those things of the world. But Lord, he just have a desire for you and to love you with all his heart. Lord, I pray even right now, may he receive it, just as Paul laid his hands on the Ephesians, they received the Holy Ghost. May my brother now receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe and confess it together. May his life never be the same from this moment on. And we thank you, Lord, for moving on his heart. In Jesus' name, we believe it, Lord. Amen. Give him praise, my brother. You just worship him with all your heart. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Worship and praise him. He's worthy today, church. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. That's just the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid. Just love on him. Just love on him. Watch the miracle, church. Just believe. All things are possible to anyone that would believe. Believe it now. One last time, sing it with all your heart now, unreserved.
Learning to dance, and I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm
feel led to say something. Sister Suzanne will remember this, that she had an experience with God at a service once, and the Holy Spirit told me over and over again, say, go tell her that that's what she got today. I'll see her through. And I reasoned with it for a little while, and then I couldn't take it no more at lunch. And I said, and I went up to her and told her that. And she'll testify that that's the truth. What she received that day will see her through. And I want to say the same for those that came forward. Brother Jason, you especially, what you receive today will see you through. And you pray for one another. It's not an easy thing to do. I mean, you know where you've been there. Pray for one another. Love one another. Those of you that brought requests for others, those of you brought requests for yourselves, don't let the devil take it from you. You have it right now. You have it. And anything comes contrary is a lie. What you receive today will see you through. Even if it's just a promise of healing or something, what you receive when you believe the word will see you until it happens. Don't doubt it. Jory, don't doubt it in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan's a liar. He's trying to take the promise from you. And if you'll hold on, God will do his part. He's already did it. Hallelujah. Don't doubt it anymore. Hallelujah. You can stay this morning. If you want to pray, brothers praying and things, and you want to worship, and you just want to stay in his presence, you just do that. That's fine. Dad will keep worshiping or leading some songs and things, and that's fine. But if you want to be dismissed, you can. You don't have to be here, but if you want to be here for something, you still say, Lord, just something else. I'm just going to stay until you go ahead and do that. You ain't in no hurry. If you do have to go out there, you got to get going and things, just be respectful and quiet, please. If you need somewhere to go to lunch, we got stuff at my house ready. You can just come on over. That's fine. You didn't bring nothing. Don't worry about it. We got it. It's okay. We love you. We appreciate each one that was here. Tyrell and Sister Ron, it was good to have you with us as well. And all you other that are guests and ain't guests no more. So it's good to have you all with us as well. God bless you, saints, and just love on him. And just how many appreciates what he's done for us today? Yeah. Amen. Not just thank him and worship him. Go ahead. God bless you.